Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We're looking one last time at this message we've been considering. It was called Look Behind the Curtain, and I think we'll end it after tonight. There's many different points to it. But Colossians 2:14 is where we'll start, Lord willing. And see, Brother Joe, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Okay, another statement in this message I quote. This person said, the Old Testament was written to Israel, not written to Gentiles, not written to the church. Let me repeat that. This person said in this message, I quote, Old Testament written to Israel, not to Gentiles, not written to the church, end quote. Well, if that was specifically referring to the ceremonial law, I could agree in part to that, but he did not specify that. Colossians 2:14, the Bible says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in what? In meat. Now remember, the Israelites could not eat pork, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of what? The Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So all of those things were nailed to the cross, and the Lord fulfilled those things. He didn't come to break the law of those things. He came to fulfill them. The Sabbath was a time of rest for man. But our rest is in Jesus Christ. He fulfilled that, our salvation. And so we rest in him. Notice in Matthew 5, just to remind us that Jesus did not break these commandments, these ceremonial laws. He fulfilled them on the cross. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Matthew 5, 17. Jesus said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So all of those things which were blotted out on the cross were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. All those things were types. They were pictures. They were illustrations of things to come. So, but to make a blanket statement that the Old Testament was only written to the Jews, not to Gentiles, and not to the church, that is false. Notice in Romans 15, Romans 15, verse 4. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. The Bible says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for what? Our learning. Well, he just said Old Testament was written to Israel, not to the Gentiles, not written to the church. But here it says the Old Testament, well, it's referring to the Old Testament. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of what? The Scriptures might have hope. So those things do apply to us. Notice with me, please, in Psalm 96. Psalm 96, and we'll just start in verse 1. Psalm 96 and verse 1. So we're talking about the Old Testament. Was it written just to the Jews? Does it have no application to Gentiles or to the church? Psalm 96, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth what?
His
his salvation from day to day. Okay. Show forth his salvation from day to day. To who? Well, read verse 3. Declare his glory among who? Now remember, he said the Old Testament was not written to Gentiles or to the church, but right here we're looking at Gentiles. It says in verse 3, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among who? All people. This idea that God only cared for the Jews, I don't know where they get that from, because God cares about all people of all time. Back up to verse 2. It said, sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his what? Salvation from day to day, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of who? The nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. God always wanted the heathen to know the truth. And just this whole chapter goes down through here. Verse 9. Well, verse 8. I should have just read the whole thing. But verse 8. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto what? His name. We're talking about salvation in this chapter. It's all about his name. Give glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him, who? All the earth. Not just all the Jews, but all the earth. Verse 10, once again, say among who? The heathen, that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. And on it goes. Verse 13. Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. So the statement of the speaker said Old Testament written to Israel, not written to Gentiles. That's simply not true. And he also said it's not written to the church. That's not true. We already read Romans 15:4. It's written for our learning. You know, the more you read about someone, the more you understand about them. And so the more we read in the Old Testament, we understand the heart of God. Well, let's look now at 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 3:15. So the Apostle Paul, this is thought to be the last book that he read before his life was taken from him for his testimony. And he's writing it to Timothy, his own son in the faith. And in verse 15, 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known what? The Holy Scriptures. Well, from a child, Timothy would have known the Old Testament. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Well, that fits right along with in Luke 24 about Jesus talking to the two men on the Emmaus Road. Paul's talking to him, said, you'd known the Scriptures from a child. Well, it's the Old Testament he had known from a child. And he goes on to say, verse 16, what? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Is the Old Testament Scripture? Yes, it is. This says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. You know what that means? It means it applies to us. If it's profitable for doctrine, that means the doctrines in the Old Testament are important to us. We saw in Colossians 2 that some of those ceremonial laws have been blotted out. But there are many doctrines in the Old Testament that we are to follow. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We need many principles of the Old Testament. We're going to look at some of them in just a little bit here. But so His statement that the Old Testament was written to Israel, not to Gentiles, not written to the church, is simply not true. Now, if the Old Testament was not written to the church, in other words, if the Old Testament does not apply to us, then that means the book of Isaiah does not apply to us. So let's look at some scripture here. Isaiah 26. Isaiah chapter 26. This has been a favorite verse 3 of many people. It's been one of my favorite verses. Isaiah 26, 3. The Bible says, thou wilt keep him in what? Perfect peace. Whose what? Whose mind is stayed on thee because he what? Trusteth in thee. How many of you have ever committed that verse to the Lord over something that you are concerned? Yeah. Just about everybody. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. But if the Old Testament doesn't apply to us, then you shouldn't be using that verse. But that's incorrect, isn't it? That is a good verse to use. That is an excellent verse. Notice in Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. You know, sometimes we all make statements that we don't really think through. To make a statement that the Old Testament was not written for the church and was not written for the Gentiles is simply making a statement that's really not thinking through what we're saying. Isaiah 40, verse 28. I have a feeling many of you, if not most of you, have used this passage many times. Verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to who? Faint. How many of you have ever felt faint? Yeah. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. How many of you have ever meditated on these verses and brought them before the Lord? Yes. This applies to us, but this man made the statement that it doesn't apply to us in the New Testament. That is not true. So, the book of Isaiah does apply to us, and we can use it. How about the book of Psalms? Let's go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Is there anyone in here that your favorite book of the Old Testament is the book of Psalms? Does there happen to be anyone? Okay, there are several. Your favorite book in the Old Testament is the book of Psalms. But you see, if we held to the statement that this person made, we would have to say, well, none of it applies to us, so we can't use it. That's simply false. And then Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is what? Sure, making wise the simple. My, how we need that, don't we? We need something sure because we are simple in and of ourselves. This flesh is simple. It needs wisdom. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant what?
Warned.
But if it doesn't apply to us, how can we be warned? Well, they do apply to us, so we can be warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. But if these don't apply to us, then there's no reward for us. But they do apply. And so there is a reward. Notice in Psalm 27, in verse 1. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Bible says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" How many of you have ever been helped by that verse in your life? Yes. But if it doesn't apply, if it wasn't written to help the church, then it wouldn't apply. But that statement is false. In Psalm 27:13, verse 13, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." How many of you have ever been blessed by reading verse 14? Yes, that applies to us. Psalm 37, verse 3. Psalm 37, verse 3. "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Verse 4 is a favorite verse of so many people. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Has anyone here ever used that verse in prayer? Oh, yes. What a precious verse. That applies. Psalm 51. Psalm 51 and verse 2. Or verse 1, I'm sorry. Psalm 51, 1. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." How many of you have ever been encouraged when you were down? Maybe you had failed the Lord miserably in some way. And how many of you have ever been encouraged by reading verse 2 at a time like that? Yes. "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin." That applies. Psalm 51, 17. Psalm 51, 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." How many times have we used this verse? Coming before the Lord with a broken and a contrite heart. Many times. Psalm 55, it applies to us. The Old Testament applies to us. Psalm 55, 22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." How many of you have ever committed that verse to the Lord? Yes. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." Psalm 56, verse 3. Psalm 56, 3. "What time I am afraid, I will" what? "Trust in thee." Has anyone in here ever been fearful of anything and used that verse? I have. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." That verse applies. Psalm 103, verse 10. Psalm 103 and verse 10. "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." How many have ever been blessed by verse 12? Yes, it applies. It applies to us. Psalm 116, verse 15. Psalm 116, 15. But if this speaker was correct that the Old Testament does not apply to the church, then we could use none of these verses. If the Old Testament was not written for the benefit of the church, then these would be absolutely worthless to us. Psalm 116, 15. "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." That verse has provided comfort for thousands of people when a loved one passes away. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. How many of you have ever memorized that verse? Well, if it doesn't apply, just think of all the time you wasted. But it's not a waste of time, is it? That verse does apply. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, 18. Verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. How many of you have ever prayed that verse before reading your Bible? Yes. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. But if it doesn't apply to the church, it would be worthless to us. But it's not worthless. It's precious. Verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. How many of you have ever gone to the Old Testament looking for counsel, for direction from God? Anyone? Yes. Yes. Verse 36. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Verses like this speak to our hearts and remind us that this world is not our home. Lord, incline my heart to your word, not to covetousness. Verse 42. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. This is one of the early verses I memorized when God touched my heart. Verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. But if it didn't apply to us, it would not be better. But it does apply. Verse 152. Excuse me, 152. The Bible says, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast what? Founded them forever. But what good would it do to have founded them forever if they don't apply to us? It would have done no good. But they do apply. Well, so, if the Old Testament was not written for the benefit of the church, if only for the benefit of the Jews, then the book of Isaiah, gone. The book of Psalms, gone. Just think of it. The entire book of Proverbs would be gone. Think of that. Look at Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. Proverbs 3 and verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. That promise would mean absolutely nothing to us if the Old Testament doesn't apply, but it does apply. And look in verse 5. How many times have we gone over these verses? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. How many of you have ever used this verse, these verses, to acknowledge the Lord and ask for direction and help? Yes. But if it didn't apply, it'd be worthless. Probably some of you, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 the favorite verses of anyone in here? Okay, several people. Okay, but if the Old Testament didn't apply, well, better find some new verses. No, it does apply. Verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. How many people has that given the courage to tithe? If I put God first, he'll meet my needs. Hundreds, thousands of Christians have been blessed with those verses. Stepping out in faith. Yes, I can tithe, and I give offerings to the Lord, and he will meet my needs. In verse 35, Proverbs 3:35. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. That's still applicable today. It still works. Look at Proverbs 7, verse 1. Proverbs 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Is the Old Testament the apple of our eye? It should be, because it's God's word. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. And on down through it goes there. Proverbs 9, verse 10. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. How many times have we used that verse? It applies. We need that verse. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. We need that truth. We need it just as much now today as they needed it in the Old Testament. We need it. Chapter 13, verse 20. You parents have probably gone over this verse with your children before. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be what? Wise, but a companion of fools shall be what? Destroyed. We need that principle. We adults need that principle. Our children need that principle. It still applies. Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is what? A reproach to any people. How many of you believe that verse really applies to America? Yes. That verse applies to us just as much as it applies to Israel. We need that verse. There's just so many here. Let's just jump ahead to some of these. Chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. That verse is still true. It is true. I believe God is upholding our president. I don't know of any person in the flesh that could have ever endured the opposition. I mean, imagine if it was our name in the news every night. Imagine if news people followed us around with cameras and just recorded every word we said and everything we said, tried to turn it against us. I don't know of any person in the flesh that could handle that. But I believe that God has used President Trump to bless Israel, to try to restore our religious freedoms. And we need to pray for him. And I know you are. But we need to pray for his spiritual state. We need to pray for his physical state. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. It was interesting to me to read this week after he made the announcement that he had this coronavirus, that Putin from Russia wrote him a note, and I found it very interesting because Putin in it, I can't remember his exact words, but he said he admired President Trump's vitality and optimism. And I tell you, the guy, verse 22, has a merry heart, and it doeth good like a medicine. And I believe that it's God using the man for such an hour, and we need to pray for him spiritually, physically. But I thank the Lord for all that he has done through him. We need to pray for wisdom. But Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted what?
Wise.
And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of what? Understanding. Well, I know this verse applies, because when I started Bible school, people started asking me questions, and I thought, I've just started Bible school. I don't know anything. And they're asking me questions as if, well, you're in Bible school. You ought to know this. Have you counted how many pages is in here? I don't care how old I get. I'm never still going to know it all. Far, far from it. There's so much more to learn. But I practiced this back in those early days. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. I would just, somebody, we'd be in a small group of people, and people would be talking about a topic, and I wouldn't know the answer, and so they're asking back and forth, and somebody looks at me and asks the question, and I just smile and keep my lips shut, and somebody else speaks up, puts their foot in their mouth. So I found this verse to be true. Even when I was a fool and didn't know the answer, if I would hold my peace, people would count me wise, and if I would shut my lips, people would esteem me a man of understanding, even if I didn't understand. This verse applies to us today. It works. So, enough of that anyway. Time's getting away, but the Old Testament applies to us. It applies to the Gentiles. It applies to everybody. This speaker made another statement and said, these Hebrews, and he's talking about a certain passage, and I didn't mark the passage, but he said, these Hebrews did not believe in Jesus. For all practical purposes, these were Old Testament saints. So he's saying, these group of Hebrews did not believe in Jesus, but they were saints. There's no way to be a saint and not believe in Jesus. Not believe in the Messiah to come, or in our case, the Messiah that has come. The only way to become a saint is to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Notice in Psalm 116, and verse 13. Psalm 116, and verse 13. The Bible says, I will take the cup of what? Salvation. Oh, well, how are you going to do that? And what? A call upon who? The name of the Lord. Well, oh, that's how you do it. How do you take that cup of salvation? Well, you call upon the name of the Lord. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Okay, well, what about it? Verse 14. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of who? His saints. So the context, verse 13, I'm going to take the cup of salvation. Well, how do I take that cup? I call upon the name of the Lord. Verse 14, that is making a vow, taking God as my Savior. And then he says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. How do you become a saint? You must take the cup of salvation. You must call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. That's clear. Psalm 149, verse 4. Psalm 149, 4. But this speaker said these Hebrews did not believe in Jesus. For all practical purposes, these were Old Testament saints. That doesn't make any sense. Psalm 149, verse 4. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with what?
Salvation.
So it's talking about he's taking pleasure in his people. Well, how do we become his people? Well, he says he'll beautify the meek. We have to humble ourselves before God. And that's when we come to him for salvation. And then goes right on in verse 5, let the who? The saints be joyful in glory, let them sing aloud upon their beds. So you can't be a person who does not believe in Jesus, does not believe in the Messiah to come, the one who's going to shed his blood for our sins. You can't be a saint if you don't believe in him. A saint means to be separated, to be holy. We can't be separated from our sin. We don't know Christ as our Savior. Psalm 34 and verse 8. There's only one way to become a saint, and that's through Christ and his blood. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is what?
Good.
How are you going to taste and see that the Lord is good? Blessed is the man that what? trusteth in him. How do you taste and see? You have to take a bite out of the Lord? No. How do you taste and see? You trust in him. You place your trust in him. Well, then what? Verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye what? His saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. So how do you become a saint? Verse 8. You've got to taste and see that the Lord is good. You've got to place your trust in him. That's how you become a saint. Well, I think we're going to just end it with that. There's just so many things about that message that just are not right. And there's just so many times that we all fall into that trap, do we not? That we hear something said and we just repeat it. Like, oh yeah, well, the Old Testament wasn't written for the church. The Old Testament was written for the saints of all time. Romans 15:4, once again. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable. That means it applies for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. It all applies to us. This is a precious book for us, the whole thing. And I pray God would help us. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we know we need your entire word or you would not have left it for us. So Lord, please help us to read it. Lord, please give us understanding. We do commit the scriptures to you. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That is our prayer. Lord, please teach us. We are simple. We so much lack understanding in so many things in life. We need your constant help. We need to constantly acknowledge you in all thy ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Lord, we do confess that we need that. We need that Old Testament verse. We need your help in all of our ways. Please guide us, Lord. Please bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.